Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you would like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search RockC3 for our app. This is the first week of our new series called Dangerous Prayers, and this week, Pastor Josh discusses the question, will we just pray for circumstances to go away, or will we pray for boldness in their midst? Enjoy the message.
Well, hello. How you guys doing? Doing all right today? So good to see you guys here at The Rock. I want to welcome those of you who are in Conway at this campus. And I want to give a big shout out right now because I know we've got a bunch of people watching on our online campus as well. So would you all do me a favor and welcome everybody who's joining in online? So glad you guys are with us. And let me just say this, whether you're new here in Conway or new online, man, we would love to connect with you and want to give you that opportunity today. If you're in Conway, stop by the Connect Corner. We've got a gift for you. We'd love to connect with you a little bit that way. If you're watching online, you see that number there on the bottom of the screen. Just text the word connect. And we would love to just follow up with you and connect with you that way. So we want everybody to get connected. That's the whole goal. Whether you're online, whether you're on campus, we want you to be connected. And so let me just say that. And then let me also just say this. You're here at an 8:30 service, okay? Wow. Like, hats off to you, okay? Some of you are just now showing up, but I'm teasing Gentry. Anyway, but we're really glad that you're here, that you're part of it. And, you know, we've made this change because it's going to help us for the long-term growth of our church. It's going to help us in the midst of this pandemic, but it's going to help us for the long-term growth of our church to do an 8:30, a 10, and an 11:30, to do our coastal campus at 10 a.m., stuff like that, because it's going to help us long-term help people to be able to connect with God. So I'm glad that you are here, and I'm glad that you're here because we're launching a new series today, and I'm fired up about this series. It's born out of a book by a guy named Craig Groeschel. He pastors the largest church in America, and he wrote a book, and that's kind of where our series is coming from. You can check that book out online. Definitely worth reading, and you can get it from Amazon or whatever. All right, but before we even dive into it, I kind of got to start it this way, because even our series is like an oxymoron. And I don't know if you know what an oxymoron means. Oxymoron comes from the Greek. It was about 400 AD when the word was first used. And in the Greek, it would mean oxy, which means point, and moron, which means dull. And they would take two words that in essence conflict with one another to make up a word, all right? Now, we have a lot of these oxymorons in our culture. I actually sent out a push notification this week, and these were some of the oxymorons that you all said you love. Jumbo shrimp, all right, that was the most often given answer, all right? So when I sent that text out, several people replied, well over 100, and jumbo shrimp, if you're playing Family Feud, was the number one answer on the board, okay? But then there was other ones like bittersweet, good grief, pretty ugly, act natural. Like, those are good. But my favorite ones that you all sent in were these three, okay? Little pregnant. It's one or the other, y'all. I think we all get that. I love this one. Army intelligence. Sorry. My Marine in the back is loving that. My Army guy in the front is not, okay? But my favorite one of them all was Microsoft Works, okay? Like that was by far my favorite oxymoron that you all sent in, all right? And I bring this up because our series is called Dangerous Prayers. And when you think about danger and prayer, you normally wouldn't put those two together. Like, there's a lot of people that would say, no, those two words really don't flow together. You might come from a background. You might not have a faith walk yet, or maybe you've been walking with God for a long time. But when you think prayer, you don't think dangerous at all. Like, when you think prayer, you think, you might think, boring. You might think ineffective. You might think unnatural. You might think it means I got to hold somebody's hand and I really don't want to hold somebody's hand. Right? Like when people say, let's pray together, you're like, do we have to hold hands? Like, you know. You might think danger, prayer, no, those don't go together because prayer isn't dangerous. If anything, it's the opposite of that. And maybe the reason prayer isn't dangerous is because we're praying way too safely. Like, I'm just curious. Raise your hand if you've ever prayed, Lord, be with me today. Yeah, a bunch of us. Okay? Now, let me just be honest with you. You never, ever have to say that prayer if you are a Christ follower. Because he is with you. Like saying, Lord, be with me today is an oxymoron in itself. Because he is already with you through his spirit. And that's the reason I say it's a safe prayer. Because you pray, Lord, be with me. Well, he's already with you. Or how many of you all have ever prayed for him to bless your food? Raise your hand, yeah? While you were eating a McDonald's double cheeseburger, right? Now, maybe that is a dangerous prayer, okay? Because maybe that would take a miracle for him to bless that food. But do you see what I'm getting at? I think oftentimes we pray way too safely rather than dangerously. And I want to challenge you to pray some dangerous prayers. Now listen, when I say that, it doesn't mean that you're going to have to pray these long prayers that come with, you know, like King James language, nothing like that. It's actually, I'm going to teach you five very simple, very short, but very dangerous prayers over the next 5 weeks. Prayers like, Lord, search me. Lord, break me. Lord, teach me. Lord, send me. And today, Lord, use me. Lord, use me. That's a prayer that I want to challenge each and every one of us, whether you're here or online. I want to challenge you to pray this prayer today. And the reason I want you to pray, Lord, use me, is because I believe that God has great things in store for you. And it is a dangerous prayer, and it could possibly bring danger into your life. And you might say, well, if that's the case, I don't want to pray it. I don't want more danger in my life. There's enough danger all around me already. I don't need more, right? You're thinking, Josh, why are you teaching us this? Because what I really believe, if you got down to the core of it, I believe most of us want more. I believe most of us are looking for purpose. I believe most of us are looking to be used by God, that we want to be a part of something that's much bigger than ourselves. And when you pray, Lord, use me, then what you're doing is you are syncing yourself up with God and his will to carry out his mission on this earth. And that is dangerous, but it is also exhilarating. And it is also a life worth living. And we see that in a guy named Peter and a guy named John. And I just want to tell you their story today. It's from Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4. If you have a Bible or the Rock app, you can turn there. It'll be right there, and you can follow along. I'm not going to read the whole story or read the two full chapters, but I'm just going to kind of tell you the story, and then I'll take some breaks in between there to explain it, all right? So the story starts in Acts 3, and it starts a little bit like this. It says that one day, Peter and John were headed to the temple. And as they were going to the temple, they saw a man who was lying on the ground, who was laid at the beautiful gate every day because he was lame. And while he was there, he would beg for money. So as Peter and John were walking by, this guy looked at him and asked for some money. And Peter and John said, look at us. So the guy looked at him like, okay, hey, I'm going to get some money. And Peter said, money and silver or gold we don't have for you. But what we have for you, we give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And Peter reached down with his right hand and he picked the guy up from the ground, and immediately strength came into his ankles and into his feet, and he was able to stand. And while he was standing, all of a sudden he started to jump up and down. He started to praise God because finally his legs had worked. His entire life he'd been lame, but now his legs are working. So he's jumping up and down. He's excited for life, and he starts following Peter and John into the temple. And as Peter and John get into the temple, they start to gather at Solomon's porch, and a bunch of people notice this lame man, and as they notice this lame man, they go, wait, that's the guy who's been sitting at the beautiful gate every day. What is he doing? Up, jumping, dancing, praising God. So everybody gathered around. And when everybody gathered around, Peter saw an opportunity, and he spoke up. And he said, why are you surprised at seeing this man standing? Do you think that he is standing because of something we have done? I want you to know it has nothing to do with us, but has everything to do with God your Father, who sent us Jesus Christ, whom you all killed. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. And this man is now standing because he put his faith in Jesus Christ. And you can do the same, and times of refreshing will come into your life. Now, let me just pause right there for a second. Because you might have heard all that story and said, okay, that's a lot. What do I take from this? How do I apply this into my life? Well, what I want you to see is two men here, John and Peter, who were used by God. And the way they were used by God was, first, they simply looked for an opportunity. That if you want to pray a dangerous prayer and pray, Lord, use me, then what I want to challenge you to do is in that prayer, be looking for the opportunities to be used. All right, if you go all the way back to verse 1, it says this: Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. All right, now let's just break that down for a second. There was no reason for Peter or John to go to the temple at 3 o'clock in the afternoon for prayer. Because at 3 o'clock in the afternoon for prayer would have been a Jewish prayer. They would have been coming together with the Jews to pray in a Jewish manner. But now they were Christians. So now they prayed to God through Jesus directly. So they didn't need to go to the temple to pray. But they went there, I believe they went there, because they knew this might give us an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. This might give us an opportunity that as we're praying to Christ, that people will start to ask us about Jesus. So they went at 3 o'clock in the afternoon because they knew there would be a bunch of people there. And on their way there, they came across a guy who was laying on the ground, who was lame, who asked for some help. And as he asked for some help, they looked at him and they saw an opportunity. They saw an opportunity to take advantage of presenting the gospel. They looked for an opportunity. Another way for me to say this is they looked and they saw an opportunity to do for one what they wanted to do for everyone. Let's think about this for a second, y'all. Every day, we have opportunities to do for one what maybe we wish we could do for everyone. That day, Peter and John had an opportunity to change someone's life. And I want to challenge all of us right now to look for an opportunity to change someone's life. And you might hear that and you might go, wow, that just sounds too difficult. Like, how do I literally change somebody's life? Well, just change their situation. Like, if you think about Peter and John, that's all they were doing is looking at, well, let's just change the situation. Let's jump into this situation and let's not pass by, but let's speak some life into this moment. And guys, that's something each and every one of us can do. I mean, goodness, I don't think I have to move past the news for any of us to realize that we have plenty of opportunities to speak life into people right now. Amen? There's plenty, all right? We can talk about the pandemic, all right? We can talk about it. We got all kinds of pandemic stuff going on. And because of that, for 10 weeks, people have been holed up a little bit, 12 weeks now. And now people are starting, at least in Horry County, to kind of get out a little bit more. And as people are starting to get out a little bit more, you have an opportunity to speak into somebody's life. You have an opportunity to change somebody's situation. You have an opportunity to come alongside of them and help them find healing. Because unfortunately, over the last 12 weeks, I've heard time and time again about people whose their mental health has gone south, that we've seen addictions on the rise, we've seen abuse on the rise, we've seen kids living in boredom. They need people to come alongside of them and speak some life into them. That's what we need to do. That's going on in America. All right? Y'all quiet, 8:30. We can get a little bit louder in this, okay? But then we can also talk about racism, all right? And guys, my heart hurts too much right now, to honestly. Many of y'all know that I've got black children, so my heart hurts right now of what's going on in America. I'm not going to talk about it a lot today. We'll talk about it in a couple weeks, all right? But I will say this. You have a perfect opportunity right now to speak life into people. Because there's people that need to know that they matter to God. So when you come across somebody who is a friend of yours, you stand beside them, all right? You've got a black friend. You've got a Hispanic friend. You've got anybody of a diverse situation, all right? You stand beside them and you love them and you let them know that they matter to God, all right? We've got to do that. We've got to stand beside people and speak into their situation, all right? And I can't totally understand their situation. I can't, even in my household, I still can't understand what my son goes through every day. But I can stand beside him every day. I can stand beside him every day. I can stand beside my daughter every day. I can stand beside my friends every day. And you can do the same. But it's not just for our African-American friends. You can stand beside that police officer. You stand beside them. You stand beside that school teacher. You stand beside that medical worker. You stand beside everybody you come in contact with in life and say, how do I speak life into that situation? Because we're all going through junk. We're all going through junk. And right now in America, we need healing. So we got to look at the opportunity and say, how do I change this situation so that I can change a life? And the best way to do that is speak Jesus into that life. That's the best way. That's what Peter and John did. They looked for an opportunity and they said, we're going to speak Jesus into this. And because they spoke Jesus into one person, then they were able to minister to the whole crowd. Do you see that in this next verse? Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. Because they did for one what they wanted to do for everyone, because they came alongside of this one guy, he was put in front of a platform where there was, I don't know how many people, a crowd. That crowd could have been 50, could have been 100, could have been 200, we don't know, but a crowd. That now he's in front of a crowd, and because of what he did for one, now he was able to do for everyone, and he was able to say, let me tell you about Jesus. And he did that. As he was doing that, he was speaking into their life. He was saying, let me be used by God right now. And I've given you a bunch of ways you can be used by God in this world, but I also want you to think about ways you can be used by God right here in the church, all right? Now think about there's people that need the Lord right here, that you can step up and you can serve right here, that you can come alongside of our kids' ministry right now. We need more people to do that. Especially as we are trying to be safe in our environments, we're looking to open up our younger kids' environments next week and the following week. We need more adults so that we can have smaller, small groups. Maybe that's a way to be used, because if you'll do for one, then you'll actually be able to preach to everyone. And that happens when you lean on the Holy Spirit. You've got to be willing to lean on the Holy Spirit. Let me keep going in the story. The story goes on. It says, while Peter and John were preaching to the crowds, the religious leaders came upon them, the guards and the Sadducees, and they were upset because they were preaching about the resurrection. So as they were preaching about the resurrection, Peter and John were arrested. They were put in jail. Because it was night, they were held there until the next morning, where they were put on trial. And the chief priest and the religious leaders, they all came before him and said, "Why? Whose name did you heal this man?" And Peter stepped up and, filled with the Holy Spirit, he said, "If we're on trial today because we did something good for this man, or are we on trial because we healed him in the name of Jesus?" And I want you to know that it was in the name of Jesus that we did heal this man. The man that you killed, but God raised from the dead. Look at Peter's very words, all right? And it says this way. The members of the council were amazed. Oh, excuse me, let me go back. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of our people, let me clearly state state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. That Peter and John were willing to stand in front of these leaders and say, you crucified him, but God raised him from the dead. What gave them this boldness? And the reason they were bold, the reason they were willing to do this is because they were leaning on the Holy Spirit. The backstory, if you don't know it, it was 50 days, maybe 2 months earlier, that Peter was in front of these same religious leaders because these religious leaders were responsible for the death of Jesus. And while these religious leaders were putting Jesus on trial, Peter was hanging out in the shadows and denying Christ. So 2 months earlier, he was denying Christ. Now 2 months later, he's standing up for Christ. What's the difference? What made it where he went from denial to standing and proclaiming boldly? Holy Spirit. That's what it is. Because in that time, what happened is Jesus rose from the dead, and then 50 days later, on Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit came down to this earth, and the Holy Spirit empowered the disciples. And then on that day, when Peter was empowered by the Holy Spirit, he went out to the crowd, and he preached, and over 3,000 people gave their life to Christ that day. See, what had happened is the Pentecost had happened and the Holy Spirit had come. I don't know if you know this or not, but on our calendar, today is Pentecost Sunday. It was roughly 2,000 years ago today that the church was born. All right? I think it gives the providence of God that we're calling this weekend Gather Again Weekend, and the church is alive both on campus and online, all right? But in that, what I want you to see is if you don't lean on the power of the Holy Spirit, then it will be very difficult to be used by God. Because Peter, when he didn't lean on the Holy Spirit, he had trouble being used by God. But because he was willing to lean on the Holy Spirit, then he was used by God. There's a pastor in the Northwest named Levi Lusco. He often says it this way about Christians. He says that Christ followers often come through Calvary, but never make it to Pentecost. That we often come to Jesus, we get saved, but we never make it to the point where we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, all right? And what I want you to know today is that when you receive Christ, when you respond to his grace, that the Holy Spirit is available for you right then. The Holy Spirit comes inside of you. He lives in you. But do you tap into the power source that the Holy Spirit provides? What I want to challenge you to do is to tap in, to lean on the Holy Spirit. Because if you're willing to lean on the Holy Spirit, then you can be used by God and you can be bold. Because Peter and John leaned on the Holy Spirit, boldness came to them and they stood in front of the religious leaders and said, the man you crucified, but God rose from the dead, all right? So what I'm trying to say is if you want to be used by God, you've got to look for opportunities. You've got to lean on the Holy Spirit and you have to leverage boldness. Look at the next part of the verse. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. For they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. And they also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. There's so much great stuff in this verse. The council was amazed, okay? They were amazed at the boldness of Peter and John. All right, they were ordinary men, all right? And to me, that's a beautiful thing because I know I'm just an ordinary dude. So when I see other ordinary men that are used by God, I'm like, I'm there, all right? And I just want to let you in on a little secret. The rest of you, you're all ordinary as well, okay? You're ordinary. I know some of you, like your parents said, no, you're extraordinary. No, that just means you're extraordinary, okay? We're all ordinary people. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing because what we see is God uses ordinary people to change the world. That's what happens. Ordinary people to change the world when they've been with Jesus. That these guys said, man, these guys have been with Jesus. There's something different about them that's making them bold. So then because of that, they started telling them, they're like, all right, we're going to release you from prison, but you can't go and tell anybody else about Jesus Christ. And I love what Peter and John said. They said, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? You think God wants us to obey you or him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. We can't. We can't stop. We won't stop. God has changed our life. We have seen Jesus change lives. We've seen him rise from the dead. We've seen him empower us and give us the ability to help change someone's situation. So we can't stop. Do whatever you want to us, but we're not going to stop. Well, the religious leaders realized that they couldn't really punish him anymore, or they would have caused a riot, so they told him again and again, don't tell anybody about Jesus, and then they released him. So now Peter and John go to the other disciples, and they start praying together, and look at their prayer. They said, and now, Lord, hear their threats, and give your servants great boldness. Guys, that's a dangerous prayer. I don't know if many of us would be willing to pray that. I know how I would have probably prayed that. If that would have been me back then, I'll just be honest. I probably would have said, Lord, consider their threats and smite them. Lord, consider their threats and protect me. Lord, consider their threats and remove them or change them. But that's not what they prayed. Oh, Lord, hear their threats and give your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. You see what they're saying? Lord, use me. Lord, just use me. And immediately, after the prayer meeting, the place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preached the word of God with boldness. They prayed for boldness, and the place was shaken. Now, guys, I'll be honest. I've never been in a prayer meeting where the ground was physically shaking. I haven't. But I can tell you, I've been in many prayer times and worship times where I have felt the Holy Spirit moving. I've been in this room right here, and I have felt the Holy Spirit moving in this place. I have been in private prayer times, and I have felt the Holy Spirit moving in my life. And I want that for you. I want you to feel the Holy Spirit moving, and I believe it'll happen when we start leveraging boldness, when we lean on the Holy Spirit, when we look for opportunities, because we're praying, Lord, use me. So as we move into a time of response, let me just ask a real simple question. Will you be dangerous and pray, Lord, use me? Will you be dangerous and pray, Lord, use me? It's a dangerous prayer, because to really mean it, it means that you're willing to leverage boldness. You're willing to stand up for people, stand with people, stand up for God, and stand with God. It means that you know you've got to lean on the Holy Spirit, that it's not by your power, but totally by his power that everything gets done. It means that you'll look for opportunities, and you won't just walk past them, but you'll say, how do I speak life into this situation and change someone's life and change their situation? It's not easy. And I'll be honest, right now, it's probably not a prayer for everyone. Like I would love to say, I'd love to have all of you in here in Conway. I'd love to have all of you online right now. I'd love to have all of you praying this prayer with me. I'd love to have all of you put your hand up and say, yep, I'm praying it. Lord, use me. But you need to realize what's at stake when you do. Your life will change. You will find yourself in difficult situations. you will find yourself having to lean on the Holy Spirit. You will find yourself having to be bold when you didn't think you were in a position to be bold. But let me just say this. It's worth it. It's so worth it. So I want to challenge you today. We're going to sing a song, and as we sing this song, I want you to really be thinking about how God can use you at work, in your family, in this church, in your neighborhoods. How can God use you? I want to challenge you to make a commitment for the next 7 days, until the next day you're back here, for the next 7 days, every day, to start your day with a three-word prayer. Lord, use me. That simple. That's my challenge. That's my challenge to you. And as I get ready to say that prayer, I'm going to have you stand in a second. I'll have you raise your hand if you're willing to pray that prayer. But I'm going to lean on the Holy Spirit right now. Because I also know that there's some of you in this room, there's some of you online, that you haven't said yes to Jesus yet. And I'm going to lean on the Holy Spirit and trust that the Holy Spirit's going to lean into you right now. Because if you haven't responded to Christ, then I want you to. For those of you online, if you're ready to respond to Christ, then I'm going to challenge you to text the word yes. You're going to see a number going across the bottom of the screen. Just text the word yes to that number, because we would love to connect with you. It's just you saying yes, Jesus. For those of you in here, then I'm going to challenge you to go to the Connect Corner and say, I'm saying yes to Jesus. I'll be standing right there during worship time, during response time. There'll be some prayer councils there. We would love to walk beside you. Maybe during this response time, what you want to do is maybe you want to take communion. And for 12 weeks, maybe you haven't been able to be at church and take communion. I want you to know we have communion up front today. And I want you to know it's been prepared in a safe way. Our bread has individually been wrapped by somebody in a safe way. So if you want to take communion, come up and just grab a little packet of bread and a cup of juice and just spread out through the front someplace and spend some time taking communion. Saying, Jesus, I want to be used by you. Won't you do me a favor? Let's stand up right now. And if you're willing to say this bold prayer with me, Lord, use me, then I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. Just go ahead and raise your hand right now. If you're willing to pray it. Again, it's a dangerous prayer, but it is so worth it. I'm going to ask you just to repeat after me as I pray. Let's just pray. Lord, use me. Help me to see opportunities. Help me to lean on you. Help me to leverage boldness. Lord, use me. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like to learn more about how to give to God through the Rock, you can find that information on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All of those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.